State ascoltando SBS Italian. Siamo a Broadmeadows Central a Melbourne, un quartiere molto multiculturale, e siamo in compagnia della Lord Mayor, well, Lady Mayor, sorry, di Darebin, che è Lina Messina. Bentornata a Radio SBS.
Buongiorno Magica, buongiorno a tutti che ascoltano adesso questo momento.
Allora Lina, sono elezioni che per il momento sembrano ancora scaldarsi in un certo senso. Siamo arrivati alla terza settimana della campagna elettorale, si parla molto questa settimana del costo della vita, cost of living is a big issue, ma dal tuo punto di vista, tu sei ovviamente molto attiva a livello locale, quali sono i temi che stanno a cuore delle persone con cui tu parli quotidianamente nella tua zona?
Sì, a questo momento it's mental health. They're really concerned about how the government's going to tackle the mental health concerns of the community. And we know through COVID, la pandemica, it's divided socially. So I think what we have to do is elevate the importance of mental health, number one. And number two, when we look at quelle anziane, non avendo la tecnologia to get connected with community. So it's about breaking down those barriers and looking at how do we bring the aged care community aligned with modern technology so it doesn't happen again. The other thing is the cost of living and, you know, raising perhaps and looking at raising the pensioner rebates and the pensioner rates in terms of them having more disposable income, and also job seeker, it's been quite low. So I think we need to increase those levels to ensure that our community can survive in this new economic climate that we're tackling. And, you know, we need to look at the borrowings of people, and we need to freeze the interest rates, because 1 or 2% can make a difference in this economic climate.
Durante la pandemia, naturalmente molte persone si sono trovate in difficoltà, ma molte persone nelle comunità migranti soprattutto, e tu probabilmente l'hai visto anche a Darebin, sia dal punto di vista della salute mentale, sia dal punto di vista del lavoro. Dal punto di vista della comunicazione, io guardavo prima il vaccination rate di Darebin, è buono ma non altissimo rispetto al resto della nazione. Quali sono state le difficoltà secondo te?
Sì, la difficoltà sarebbe che le persone hanno sentito dalla radio, dalla televisione le cose negative. Allora ci vuole un po' di speranza, some inspiration about why it's important. So it's not about the state or the federal government telling you what to do, it's about the community leaders coming along, and that's what we did at Darebin. Abbiamo lavorato con the state and the federal, but we worked with the community leaders, the religious leaders, the community leaders in every different languages, to tell the community why it's important, to tell the community how they seek that social inclusion and how we develop and roll out those plans. That's what made it a success. We saw it in Hume with my really good friend, and I just spoke to him this morning, the mayor, Joseph Hawil. He elevated that. We, along at Darebin with Morland and Hume and Whittlesea, we came together to ensure that our community leaders echoed those voices along their own hierarchy so that the community felt more supported.
La campagna elettorale chiaramente non è ancora finita, passerà ancora del tempo, però finora come ti è sembrata? What's your judgment?
My judgment is that the community want a change. They want leaders for the people, not leaders based on their own historical values. We see a lot of infighting, and we see it about ego, and we see it about political parties, and not enough about what the people need. So they get too engrossed with the political party politics and not enough about what's really missing in the community. That's my take on it at the moment. I'm yet to see leadership in that area.
You are an independent candidate at local level for now. This is an election where the independent candidates could actually upset some of the seats that were considered to be fairly stable. What do you think is the importance of the independent candidates? And is there a risk, though, that they might actually upset the election but not be productive down the track?
I understand that point. We have two major political parties here in Australia. One, that's Liberal. That's for the people when it comes to business. The problem is that they're too dinosauric, too prehistoric to get in line with the people's values today. They're not progressive enough. Then on the other hand, you have Labor, who at the moment you can see there's a little bit of infighting and there's been some movement there. And then you've got the Greens, who are a minor party, who are progressive, but they get too diluted in certain small little areas. And then you've got independents who want to raise their voices, who the community are more reflective of. The problem is the financial backing. You need a lot of money to run as a candidate in the state or federal parliament. We don't have, you know, those resources available to run for state or federal elections. But sometimes those voices of the independents are really important because we're more reflective of what the people's concerns are. So it's a matter of, you know, if you get into a party, if it's a hung parliament, then the independent voice is more important. But if it's more Labor or Liberal, how do you actually dilute and advocate for your area? We know historically when your seat is more Labor and it's a safe Labor seat or it's a safe Liberal seat, when you dilute the funding from state or federal politics, you're not going to get more for the seat that is marginal. So it's about the marginal seats also making a change, but also the ones that have been historically Labor or Liberal to come together where the independents' voice is elevated so that we see more investment. I mean, Darabin hasn't seen any money for any pools, yet you've got Stonington at the federal government put some money in there because it's a safe Labor seat. A safe Liberal seat. Where's the money for Darabin from the federal parliament and even for state? There's hardly anything coming our way.
Some issues have already been talked about during this campaign. What's missing? What would you like the parties to start talking a little bit more about?
I would like the parties and federal politicians and state politicians, even local council, to stop finger pointing. Don't tell me what they're doing wrong. Tell me what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. Don't talk about that person's doing that wrong, their voices. I'm sick of that noise. I want to know what you're going to do and how you're going to make a difference. That's what the community want to hear. They want leadership. Not leadership that finger points, leadership that takes a stance and takes you along that journey. I think that's what's lacking.
And is there anything else that hasn't been discussed enough, in your opinion, in terms of, I don't know, environment, for instance, or maybe even what we could learn from the pandemic, what was done, what was not done properly and could be done better?
I think when we talk about environment, you meant as in the world environment. I think some political parties don't focus so much about why it's important. They tell us what to do, but they don't open the lens of curiosity, of engagement, and they're more about directorship and telling them what to do in a directive way. We need to bring the people along the journey and ask them for clarity. This is why we're doing it. And have that economical, social and environmental lens on everything that we do. Answer the whys. Why not? If we don't do this, this is the circumstances. And look at what they're doing in Europe with that environmental lens. We know, for example, the waste economy here in Australia is antiquated compared to what it is overseas. You know what they're doing in Italy and Greece and you know, even in England and the Scandinavian countries. How far advanced are they when it comes to environmental issues? When it comes to economic issues, I think we need to have that equilibrium, but also align ourselves with the values of the community and ensure that we don't just hand out for the purpose of handing out. I mean, there were some monies that were handing out to people that really didn't need it during the pandemic. Put on a proper lens and make some outcome evidence-based decisions based on facts, not just let's keep the voices quiet. Make sure that's for the people that need it the most. And socially, I think the social disconnect during the pandemic was a lot. You saw it, and not only in the ethnic communities, but also in the age and those ones that were more vulnerable. And when people come together, they help one another. And we saw that with our neighbours. We saw how we brought businesses together by keeping that dollar, you know, the ones that had that economic, you know, had the possibility to spend in their local businesses. It's like being in Paese in Sicily or in Paese in Calabria or in Roma, where all the communities got together to help support one another. And I think that's what was elevated during the pandemic, and that was community, that sense of community, like in the Paese all that long time ago.
For those who are listening and are not from Melbourne, Preston is one of the areas where there are a lot of Italian migrants historically, but also migrants from many other communities. And the Preston market has a very long history. And it's been a little bit of a sore issue for some time now. What's been happening?
Well, the Preston market is 50 years old, and it's very dear to my heart and in my ward, actually. But it's also dear to the inner Melbourne North part as well, because it's a place of social connection, a place of social connection where you have intergenerational traders. So c'era la mamma, le padre, anche le bisnonni, che avevano questo elementare. So they had a business there, and it's for generations. And now it's a melting pot of multiculturalism, and it's just not the Italians, it's the Greeks, it's the Turkish community, it's the Vietnamese community. So people come there for fresh, affordable food, and it's a place of social connection. So now we have a developer that wants to develop the market, and it's great that we're going to develop the market. But when you look at a planning application, it doesn't give you that important multicultural lens. It's a piece of paper with some buildings. Where is that heart and soul? And that's what the Preston Market is. It's a heartbeat of not only this community, but communities from the past that have come together. So if you're going to develop it, redevelop it, or knock down that footprint and not have that open-air market anymore, where's that sense of connection gone? So this is a Preston Market, moving it and turning it into a shopping centre and ripping out the heart and soul of that social connection makes it a supermarket. It does, or a shopping centre. It does not make it an open-air market for social connection. So we're saying to the planning minister, we're saying to the developer, develop the market, don't move the market, keep it an open air market, and remember the cultural importance of Preston Market, what it means to not only the people of Preston or the people of Darebin, but the people of inner Melbourne North that have had years of connection, and reflect the historical connectivity there through the arts and the culture to elevate it, to show sustainable development, and bring it more to the heartbeat of what the community want and expect.
Where's the project at the moment? What is the process looking like at the moment?
At the moment, there's a hearing set for the 4th of July, and you've got four independent advisors that will be listening to the community. But unfortunately, a 15-day hearing, 12 of it is going to be with the developer, and three of it's going to be with the community and council. That's not a right balance. It needs to be 50-50. So we're asking that we can have more of the multicultural voice, more of the council voice, more of the community voice to say, yes, develop the market. It's old. It needs development, but do it the right way and bring the multicultural voice along with the development side of things. That's been diluted at the moment.
You've been talking with the community members for a long time about this issue. What's the general sentiment?
The general sentiment is that it needs to be developed, but it needs to be fresh, affordable food and an open-air market, and keep the footprint where it is. That's what the community are telling us, and we don't want their voices diluted in the development.
Thank you, Lina Messina. All the best.
Thank you. Grazie, grazie. And auguri, grazie.
Volete ascoltare altre storie come questa? Potete trovarle su Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify o ovunque scarichiate i vostri podcast.